Hello and welcome to the Sister Struggles podcast. My name is Joanna Jama, and this is my podcast where I dig deeper into redefining self-care as a way for you to listen to your intuition, your needs, create better self-care habits and mindsets that serve you and not the roles you've been given. Then you can free yourself from burnout, people-pleasing, and toxic relationships.
And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe for new episodes.
Hey, hey, welcome to another episode of Sister Struggles. I am so glad to be resuming an episode because let me tell you, I've been going through some health struggles. So I had to give myself the grace and the energy and the time to take care of that and not, you know, make myself feel guilty about not having an episode. I'm so much better being here when I feel better than trying to force myself to do an episode when I'm feeling like shit. Because you're not going to get the best of me, so it's kind of pointless. So anyway, I'm back. I want to dive right into something that I've been dealing with, speaking of health. Now, if you aren't advocating for your health at the doctor's office, with prescriptions, with just, you know, getting tested and all the types of different ways, you need to be, especially as a Black woman. Because I just found out that I have an expired IUD. Not 1 year expired, not two, maybe not even three. This shit is 4 years old, living inside my body. Whew, I'm still fucking mad about it. And I advocated for myself. I've been asking my gynecologist every time I go in, which is every year, what is the due date? What is the deadline? Is it time to take it out yet? And I remember even when I got to put it in, I was like, 5 years, mental note, put it in my calendar. And then when that time was up, I let them know. And they were like, oh, no, it's fine. They actually extended it, so you're good. Blah, blah, blah. Didn't even bother to check. And I'm like, oh, but I just want to know the date. No information. So I'm just like, okay. And then another time I called, found out that I could have it for an extra year. And I'm like, okay. So that just kind of kept, I felt like the line just kept moving. And in my gut, I just kept thinking, you know what? I feel like it's up. I feel like it's been too long. My instincts were on fire. And so I decided to call again and insist. And that's when I found out that I was overdue. So I'm getting it removed next week. But the point is, don't let these people, no matter how much education they have, no matter how much credibility they have, how long you've been going to them, don't let them tell you what you need. You have to be the best advocate for yourself, especially with your health. And again, as a Black woman, half the time I feel like I'm not being listened to, which is why I change doctors all the time. And this gynecologist I've been going to, I actually followed them because I thought that they were great. It was a whole group of women. You know, there was a little color sprinkled in there, but I always felt safe. But man, I should have pushed even more. And I'm not mad at myself, but I know for next time, it's a lesson learned. Next time, I'm not going to take their word for it. I'm going to be like, check the motherfucking chart, okay? Give me the actual date, not all this fluff. Because I also, you know, I'm 35, so I also was asking, are there any hormonal, like, labs that I need to get done or anything at this stage of life? And I didn't even finish a sentence before she cut me off to be like, oh, you're fine, you're healthy, you don't need to worry about all that. I don't need to worry about all that. I'm trying to get ahead of any issues. So in that moment with her, I just was like, oh, okay. But in my mind, I was like, girl, I'm going to do what I need to do, whether it's around you, through you, over you, but I'm getting these labs done. And I did, because I want the peace of mind of knowing that I'm healthy, not because someone tells me because for some reason they don't want to do the test or it's too expensive or they think it's unnecessary, all of that. You have to make your own choices. Don't let other people force you into choices because they think it's best. If you don't feel like it's best, if you've got all these rumblings in your gut, you get to ask. You're allowed to ask. You should ask. And sometimes I exhaust my doctors because I'm paying way too much money up in here. So I'm going to ask everything. I'm going to get all the opinion. I'm going to get a pseudo medical degree because I need to know everything. That's just the kind of person that I am. And I used to be afraid of asking too many questions or like, you know, going off of the response, because that's people pleasing, right? Going off of the responses and just how people act. But instead, I'm just like, I don't care what your attitude is because I'm still paying to be here. I made an appointment and I'm going to ask all the questions. Because honestly, sometimes I think the doctors, especially lately. They're just trying to get you in and out. They make you wait and then you, and then they rush you out. And that people pleasing tendency and habit sometimes comes up in me because I want to be accommodating. So if someone's rushing, I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. But then I'm like, wait a second, it's not fine. It's not fine. I still have questions. You have other patients, but I was on time. And because you want to fit in 17 patients in a day, that's not my problem. And so it also leads me to also mention another thing. Next time I go in when I'm going to get it removed, which is in about 2 weeks, the IUD, they're going to hear from me. Okay. I'm going to say how I feel, because even though I figured it out and I'm getting it taken care of or whatever, like, I'm still mad, and I'm allowed to show them that I'm mad. I don't need to go in there and yell and scream and break things and call them out their name or do anything like that. But when I'm in there, I'm going to be cordial and I'm going to be civil, but I'm going to tell them, hey, I'm upset and this is why. And I've called and I've called and I've called, and I did my part. I did my part. So don't be afraid of telling people how you feel about things. Don't be afraid of showing your true emotions so you can look accommodating or agreeable, or that you're not upset, or that, you know, Black women are already going to appear angry, so we don't want to give them any more fuel. No, I have every right to be angry. And if you've ever been in a situation like this, particularly with a doctor or health crisis, because this happened to me, my mom too, this isn't your fault. Because in this capitalist, money hungry, all about profit over people country, I'm going to get mine. Okay.
Especially with all of this legislation on abortion and just the rights of women's bodies that are literally nobody's business but our own. I've had it. So I just go in guns blazing half the time because I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. If I'm honest, if I'm firm, like, I feel more empowered. And I'm not thinking about other people's comfort. And the last thing that we need to be doing, especially as Black women, is putting other people's comfort over our own. And speaking of that, I've really been, I guess, also trying to undo how I approach men, how I am around men, because I, especially in these times, I'm incredibly defensive, whether it's, you know, in my communication, it's in my physical body language. I just want to undo everything that taught me that the male gaze is what I need to be desiring. And when I catch myself in one of those habits, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm embarrassed. I'm like, why am I even trying to adjust myself or primp or do whatever because somebody's around? And I feel like it's popping up more because I'm feeling ready to kind of get back into dating because I've taken like an intentional hiatus just to, you know, make sure that I was really ready and make sure that I was going to approach dating in a way that I wanted to and not with the same habits, and especially with people-pleasing habits that I could fall into easily because I'm, you know, feeling anxious or, you know, I don't process until later that I'm kind of just going with the flow but not really asking myself what I want in the situation or in conversation, or because sometimes that can happen when I think, especially with first dates or maybe even somebody that you're meeting that you already like, I feel like it's a lot more difficult to be firm in your boundaries just because you maybe don't realize it, but you're trying to impress them. So you're not really showing your true self. You're just showing an idealized version of what you think they want. And I know I do this sometimes where I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, like end up being agreeable to where I am not necessarily making my own opinions known. So for me, it takes a lot of awareness and just being present in that moment. And also, again, understanding my positions on things, my deal breakers, you know, listening to my gut, trusting my intuition, and not ignoring red flags that come up because I want to be like, oh, you know, I could have misread that, or, oh, I don't really know him that well, so maybe that's not really what I perceive it to be. All those justifications we come up with whenever we are just around people. And for me, I think there's always this expectation to appear the most attractive I've ever been and to be the most confident I've ever been and to be super interesting and dynamic and all these things that are embodied within me, but I don't have to bring them out like I'm some sort of like robot or tool. I'm perfect the way that I am, and however I show up is how I show up. As long as I'm honest, I try to be a good person, I'm kind, etc. And I think the expectations for Black women a lot of times is to appear like we got it all together, like we're an independent woman, you know, we've got everything taken care of, nobody needs to take care of us. That can still be true, for sure, but it leaves no place for vulnerability and it leaves no place for your true identity to peek out instead of just trying to reinforce this front of, oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, and I'm unbothered. So it's hard. I think dating is made even more complex because you have to navigate through the things that you think you should be doing and the do's and the don'ts, and then also making sure that you advocate for your needs and you even know what you need. Do you even know what you're looking for, what you're attracted to? Is what I'm attracted to the right thing or the wrong thing? And all of those things, I think, go through our head. And so dating is just a hellscape. It's just a fucking hellscape. But I think it's funny that it's very similar to healing, your healing journey. It's not fun. It's messy as fuck. It's difficult. It's painful. But you learn and grow in ways that you don't even expect to. And you learn things about yourself that you don't expect to. And so dating just brings up a lot of my insecurities and just glaring flashbacks and reminders of the past and all that shit. And it forces me to work through it. And I hate it. I hate it. But it is looking into a mirror and really trying to make me honest about what I want, what I need, and also how am I approaching people that I want to date? How am I even approaching dating in general? Because I don't want to be a false sense of who I am or what I think I should be or what I used to be or just anything that's not me in the present moment. I'm proud of where I am. I'm proud of the point that I've gotten to. I'm proud of what I've been through. And you should be too. So back to the male gaze. And oh, and by the way, if you aren't familiar with that term, it basically means the very, very unrealistic perceptions that men have of women that objectify them, disempower us, if that's a word, and really see us more as objects and tools for them than, you know, human beings in our own selves. So it's a lot of what we should be doing to accommodate men, which I don't stand for and never will. I may have fallen into it unconsciously in the past, but I claim the fact that I was unaware pre-TikTok, even just diving into my own self. So now that I'm aware of those things, those are my big deal breakers. I have strong boundaries. And that's what happens. That's what comes from learning and growing, right? And I forgive myself for my past because that's what you got to do. But yeah, dating requires you to have firm boundaries. It requires you to really have a deep sense of knowing what you need. And what I think is the hardest, knowing when to get the hell out of there when you know for a fact that's a place you don't need to be or a person you don't need to be around. So one thing that comes up for me a lot is when my hair is not in braids or in a protective style and I have my natural hair, which I love. On my own, I totally love. Out in public, I love to style it, etc., right? But when it comes to dating and feeling like I want to quote unquote look my best, suddenly my natural hair isn't good enough. And I realize that's not my own value. That's not my own thought. That is just what I've been taught through media, culture, family, whatever, that it's not good enough. Or it's just like in a professional setting, expected to straighten our hair or have a more white hairstyle. When in reality, that's not how our hair looks. And it looks fucking weird whenever you try to style it in white hairstyles. Trust me, I've tried. It's just another way for society to tell women that they're not good enough when that's not the truth. It's another way to get us to buy things. I realize these days absolutely everything is rooted in capitalism, particularly for women, because we spend so much more of the money. We shop the most. We have all our accessories, all that shit. So we are their target market at all times. So if they've got to make us feel terrible about ourselves in order to make a buck, they're going to. So I'm trying to make a lot more intentional decisions like that. Like, which value is it? Is that really my own thought, or is that what other people expect me to be, or other people just have this perception of me? And so sometimes I'm even afraid to change certain things because people will question it, and then I have to answer to that. But now it's like, I'm just going to change it. And if you have an issue with what I've done, then again, that's on you. That's what it always comes back to. And same thing with dating. That's on you. You have to come, you have to show up who you are, and that is it. And in this case, if that man doesn't take you for what you are, you dodged a bullet. Because trust me, men that act that way have so many problems of their own, that all of that is merely a projection of their ego and just lack of growth, lack of awareness, and really not anybody you probably could even have a mature relationship with. Because isn't it always the most busted, raggedy-ass men that always have something to say about beautiful women? Like, I always feel like it's the most dusty dude that always has something negative to say when it's like, have you looked in a mirror, sir? Have you taken 1 second to look at yourself up and down and put yourself together? Because you look a fucking mess. So I don't take anybody's opinions to heart unless they're people that I care about. Their opinion is one that I respect, because a lot of people have a lot to say about what women should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And I don't give a fuck about any of it. I'm doing what I want to do, regardless of what other expectations are out here. And for the last thing that I want to talk about is just a reminder, a general reminder to slow down, especially when you realize you don't need to be rushing. And I say that because I have been catching myself rushing around, because that's my standard. That's my autopilot when I don't need to be. If I'm rushing, trying to get to work, if I've got an appointment, if I've got plans, whatever, okay, that makes sense. But sometimes I'll come home from work and then I'm making dinner and I'm like rushing to make dinner. And I'm like, it's 7 o'clock. I got hours and I have nothing else I'm doing this evening. Like, that's super, 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 super high priority. And nothing is a higher priority than me eating. So why don't I just slow down? Let me make these knife cuts slower so I don't chop off a fingertip, and breathe through it, put on a show that I like, and enjoy myself. So I say that again as a reminder not to just you, but also to myself, that take those moments to just breathe, relax. There are times that we have to rush through life, but it doesn't always have to be that way. So if you have those moments where you can slow down, give yourself that. Thanks for checking out another episode of Sister Struggles, and I will catch you next episode. I think we got a guest coming up, so stay tuned. Thank you guys again for tuning in to an episode of Sister Struggles. So please rate, review, subscribe, and just let me know what you think. And I would love to hear what you guys would love to hear on future episodes.